Okay, a number of people have asked me recently, people who are expecting their first child, and they have very serious shilas about what they're allowed to buy in advance of the baby arriving in this world. Sometimes the questions come with like very specific lists. Am I allowed to buy diapers? Am I allowed to buy burping cloths? Am I allowed to buy a crib? Am I allowed to buy a car seat? Am I allowed to buy? And like say yes. But the assumption seems to be that there's some sort of isser involved. So I wanted to discuss a little bit where that might come from, because it certainly doesn't seem to come from anywhere in halacha. In the Sefer She'elas Rav, Chelek Bei Simonon Zayin, they quote answers that Chaim Kanievsky gave to these kinds of questions, and he said that the basic reason people avoid buying things for a baby before the baby arrives is ayin hara. But in general, when it comes to ayin hara issues, the person's not makbid about it, about these kinds of issues, so then he doesn't have to be makbid. If you're makbid about it, then it's meaningful. If you're not makbid about it, it's not so meaningful. However, there's also a famous comment in the Tshuvas HaRashba in Chelek Aleph Siman Tes, where the Rashba writes that sometimes there are practices in Klal Yisrael that were originated and passed down by women, by babies to their daughters and through the generations. And the Rashba says we shouldn't laugh at such practices. We should treat them with respect, because that's also part of the tradition. So does this rise to such a level of such a practice that people don't buy things for a baby beforehand? So I think you could say that if you don't know the reason for the practice. But over here, I think it's pretty clear what the reason is. The reason is ayin hara. So the question is, how much of a consideration is ayin hara? So let's talk a little bit about the concept of ayin hara. It seems that ayin hara means different things in different places, in different mar makomos. The Maral in the Sivas Olam, Maral writes, ayin hara yesh bo koach. It has a certain actual power that could be mazik a person from the koach of an ayin hara. In fact, Rabbeinu Yonah in the second parak of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Yud Aleph, says that that the teva of things is that when there's an avir that's olam min hamachshava hu v'sorif hasadvarim shayin bam ba'in of hara. That if I look askance at something, that creates within the teva some sort of destructive force. That there's an actual destructive force that's brought into the world through ayin hara. The more classic explanation of ayin hara, though, simply is that if you draw attention to yourself, particularly to your successes, so that will bring about other people's jealousy, and it's the jealousy of other people that could bring harm to a person. That if you are the object of someone else's jealousy, so that could cause them a sense of harm. That's what the Gemara tells us in Erevin Daf Samach Dalit, that a person who became wealthy should do a mitzvah with some of that money, and that's a good way of preventing the ayin hara. What does it mean? That a person causes his friend to become jealous of him, so then he's responsible for the pain that it caused that other person, and it could cause him, and that pain that it caused that other person, that punishment that he's going to get for the pain that he caused the other person, could cause him to lose all of his money. So you do mitzvos, and those mitzvos protect you. That's why some people have a practice that when they get a promotion at work or something, they'll use some of the money that they have to buy a pair of tefillin for the shul or something like that, to buy something, to do some sort of mitzvah with. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted as having said that ayin hara means that there are people, a different explanation, that there are people who define all their successes and failures in life based on the way other people think about them. They live for the approval of others, not for what's inherently right and wrong. And as soon as they don't get the approval of others, then it destroys their entire sense of self and their entire self-confidence. And they see themselves only through the way other people see them. So for people like that, ayin hara is absolutely devastating, because ayin hara means that somebody else is looking at you in a way that is not good. They're looking in a disapproving way at a person. And that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, that Rav Yochanan, when challenged why it's not an ayin hara that he stands outside the Beis HaTevila when women come out of the mikveh, isn't it a violation of ayin hara? He said, Anami Zared Yosef, I come from the children of Yosef. He didn't mean that he had a tradition, that he was actually a descendant of Yosef, says Rav Soloveitchik, but it was that he had a similar quality to Yosef, that Yosef understood that his strength of his own personality and of his own spiritual strength comes from himself, from his own recognition, not from the perspective of other people. And if it looks strange to other people that he's running away from the Eishes Potiphar, so be it. That was the right thing to do. And without that recognition that he had of his own abilities, independent of the way other people view him, Yosef never would have been able to survive in Galus. He never would have amounted to anything. He never would have told his dreams to other people if he really cared that much about what other people thought of him. His brothers certainly were not interested in hearing his dreams. So that's how one protects himself from the Ayin Hara. So again, Ayin Hara might mean some actual physical, some actual force that's created that works against a person. It might just mean the hurt feelings of other people when they're jealous of you and you draw your attention to yourself. I think that's the most pashut explanation. Or maybe, as Rav Soloveitchik said, a person whose entire self-identity is based on the way others look at him. Now, we're working with the second of the three, right? That the idea when you buy things for a baby before the baby is born, it's ki'ilu, you're saying that you already have the child and that you have this success that's coming your way. So that success may not come your way if someone else looks at it with a sense of jealousy. So that's the idea of Ayin Hara. L'chora, if that were the case, then all a person has to do to protect themselves from Ayin Hara is not be so flashy, is not to do things in such a public way. There are baby stores, I'm told, that you can order everything, pay for everything, they'll put it away for you, and then you pick it up after the baby is born, because that way you don't have to put everything in your house at the time that you buy it. L'chora, it's not really necessary. You can buy everything, and it's not inviting the Ayin Hara. You just don't be so showy of all the things that you have. So buy everything that you need and just put it away until the time comes. There is a lot of discussion as to what sort of immunity there is from Ayin Hara. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chaf tells us, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Omar, Mehach v'yidgul rov bekerav aretz, ma dogim shabiyam, mayim mechasen aleim, ve'in ayin hara shalatis behem, av zara shal Yosef, ve'in ayin hara shalatis behem. Why is it that Zara Yosef doesn't have ayin hara? Because they're similar to fish. That fish, no eye sees the fish swim under the water, so you don't see them so easily, and therefore, they're not subject to ayin hara, so Zara Yosef is also not subject to Ayin Hara. So it seems that those are two things that make a person less susceptible to Ayin Hara. What about the famous thing that makes you less susceptible to Ayin Hara, the red string? So that's not really a thing. The Tosefta in Masechet Shabbos tells us that wearing a red string is asher, that it's midarkei ha'amori. And as a result of that, somehow along the way, Jews picked it up and they thought it was okay to do. But that's really midarkei ha'amori. That's what Rav Shechter thought, that it's considered to be an iser to wear a red string. Not only doesn't it protect you from the Ayin Hara, but that one is not allowed to do so. However, in Tshuvas Be'er Moshe Chel Ches Siman Lamed Vav, the Debre Tzina Rav thinks that that's not right, that you shouldn't say that, because he points out that the Rashba writes that even those practices that were passed down from women throughout the generations are to be taken seriously, and therefore this too should be taken seriously, because as the Debre Tzina writes, my grandmother was very makbid about red strings. She was a very religious lady, and therefore we have to take it seriously. But again, the Pashup Shad is that the Tosefta says that you're not supposed to do it. There's another thing that you see a lot of times for Ayin Hara, and that is like the hand with the fingers, right, that's facing up, that people have to protect them from Ayin Hara. It's also, you know, it's kedai to do a little bit of research of where that comes from. Also not so pashut where that comes from the holiest of sources. Nevertheless, it is quoted by some of our great poskim. The Ben Ish Chai writes that when he talks about protecting from the Ayin Hara in Parshas Pinchas, in Shana Bet, Simin Yud Gimel, he says that Ayin Hara enters when a person suggests that something terrible may happen, and then he goes through how to protect yourself. And one of the things he says is that you hang a picture of a hand with five fingers and the Hebrew letter Hey on it, because that is the gematria of five, and that somehow protects a person from an Ayin Hara. There is also a passage in the Zohar that seems to suggest that the color Tcheles, the color of blue, is a protection from the Ayin Hara, and that might be based on what the Gemara says in Maseches Sota and in Maseches Menachos, that the Tcheles is Dom L'Yam, Yam is Dom L'Rikia, Rikia is Dom L'Kisei HaKavod, that really what protects us from the Ayin Hara is a recognition that the Ribono Shel Olam runs the world. And Tchelis is meant to remind us of the Yam, which reminds us of the Rukia, which reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod. There's also a belief that that there's some sort of melting lead that you can melt and see how many eyes come out of the lead or are shaped from the lead, and that that will exorcise all your ayin haras. There are very religious and ladies that that perform this kind of procedure. I don't know what the source of that is. I know that Rav Asher Weiss once told us that the woman, one of the famous women who does this, is a cousin of his, and Rav Asher Weiss said it's nonsense. It's not something that he said. She's very sincere and she really means it, and she doesn't. She's not doing this to trick anybody or to whatever. She really believes that she's helping people. But he said it's obviously not. It's not anything. So it's not something to seek out. He said his wife Shalom once went to her. He said, because she felt a closeness because she's a cousin. But the bottom line is that the best way to protect oneself from ayin hara is not to draw unnecessary attention to oneself. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva Nebuchadnezzar Chel Gimel Simchavav that beinyan ayin hara vada yesh lachush aval ein lahak b'harbe ki b'dvarim kelu aklal mantelo kapadlo kaptimin b'adei. That when it comes to these kinds of things, if you're not makbid, it's not going to affect you that much. So it is a thing, it does exist, but a person shouldn't obsess over the issue of ayin hara. So when it comes to that question that all the young couples ask when they're expecting their first child, they're not going to buy a car seat till after the baby's born, they're not going to be allowed to take the baby out of the hospital. Things are chaotic after the baby's born, they're running all over the place, and then the hospital's not going to let the baby go in the car unless there's a car seat, nor should they. And then you have to do that last minute as the baby's released from the hospital less than 24 hours after being born sometimes. How much time do you have to take care of all these things? So I think things that you need for the baby, I don't really see what the issue would be. I wouldn't hang out signs, those big balloons with the stork or whatever else. I guess that's a different story. Outside the front of the house before the baby comes or anything like that. But privately, what you need to get to make sure that you have what you need, I don't think that that's a violation of ayin hara. L'chora, that would be perfectly permissible. And I would think even encouraged that a person should do that. Okay, have a wonderful day, everybody.